I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to put on pause here our study in the book of Daniel. We're going to get back to that next week. But I've got something else on my heart that I feel as if the Lord wants me, well, I know the Lord wants me to share with you today. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts 20, verse 24. And I've entitled these brief remarks, What Should Never Change? What Should Never Change? Before I read verse 24, let me just give you a bit of the context here. The Apostle Paul is headed toward Jerusalem, and it's not going to, from a human perspective, turn out well for him there, but he's going there because he senses the Lord is leading him to go there. He's gathered together the church at Ephesus that he planted, and boy, does he have a love relationship with these folks. If you get a little time later on, read all of Paul's address and his final words there to the church at Ephesus. But verse 24, although Paul is talking about himself, I really believe that Paul is really, by way of implication, is saying this is how every follower of Jesus Christ should think and feel. This is the view that every follower of Jesus Christ should have concerning their Christianity, concerning their walk and relationship with God. One of the things that I love about the Apostle Paul when you read his writings is that he has a bit of a paradox. On one hand, he has mind-boggling theology that leaves you scratching your head. Read the book of Romans, for example. And on the other hand, really, he can be profoundly clear and simple. And he gets down to the lowest common denominator, and that's what he does here in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Now, listen to these words. He says to these Ephesian elders, he says, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Some verses compel us to read them again. Listen to these words again. Weigh them. "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself." Now, that's not to be taken. He's not saying that his life is worthless. But what he's saying is that compared to the surpassing greatness and value of knowing Jesus and what he wants, his life is far more important, and his life gives weight to my life. "If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Now, as you look at this passage, the question comes, what should always be true about every follower of Christ? What should always be true about every follower of Christ? And I think Paul put it this way because he was projecting, no, this is true of me, but it's not self-serving. This is true of every follower of Jesus Christ. What should always be true about every follower of Jesus Christ when you boil it all down? And I think these three dominant phrases gives us three implications or clear statements as to what should always be true about every follower of Jesus Christ. The first phrase is this. He says, "But I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself." Number one, what should be true of all of us is that we're always living for him, no matter what. This is about the lordship of Christ. This is about ownership. This is about possession. This is about who we belong to. And I, by way of implication, I think what he's saying is this. Look, Jesus is not just an additive to our lives. And I've said this here so many times over these years, that Jesus is not just an additive to our lives. You don't become a follower of Jesus Christ to make a better version of yourself. That's not the reason we become a follower of Christ. When we became a follower of Christ, a transaction has taken place. We don't use Jesus. Jesus uses us. We don't possess him. He possesses us. And so there is this ownership. that is going on here. Jesus Christ is to be the number one all-consuming priority of our lives. He is everything and ahead of everything in our lives. And so the question that he's pushing here, and I think the question that we have to wrestle with, is that have we decided who we belong to? Have we decided who we belong to? And so Paul says, look, that decision was made a long time ago. I'm not about using God to beef up my resume. I belong to him. The second phrase here is that, number one, living for him, no matter what, is what should always be true of every follower of Christ. But secondly, finishing the assignment, no matter what. Finishing the assignment, no matter what. Listen to these words. He says, this next phrase is, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus. That I might finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus. The second thing that all should be true of all of us is that we're to finish the assignments no matter what. There's objectivity in the Christian life. There's objectivity in the Christian life. The goal for the believer is not to have God endorse what we want to do with our lives. When that transaction was made, the moment we gave ourselves to Jesus Christ, we belong to him. We live by divine initiative and by divine initiation, that there are plans, there are works, and there are assignments that God has for each one of us. He has a special plan and a series of assignments for our lives. And you assign yourself the frustration when you wrestle against that. But it's yielding to those assignments that he has to us that gives impact and meaning and significance and eternal value to what we do down here. It's the works that he has and not the job that we do. The job is the platform for the works that he has. So we live by assignment. We live by what he wants done in and through us. And he expects us to finish them. And this should be our motivation and our stewardship responsibility. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua 1:1-9 was the first message that I preached here at Fellowship Bible Church back in 2005. In fact, last year I preached it again because I felt led to. But in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1-9, it begins almost with from a certain perspective, almost with a cold-blooded statement. It begins by God coming to Joshua and saying, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then the next line, now therefore, arise and go over. The point being this, look, God's assignments are his assignments and what he wants done in human history. And when a man of God dies or when a man of God leaves, nothing of God dies and nothing of God leaves. It's always next. It's always next. And what gives impetus and value and strength and significance and even a degree of permanence, according to Psalm 90, to our moment in history is doing the works of God. What are those assignments that he has given to us? And then the third statement here. First, we're always guilty of living for him, that no matter what. Secondly, we're finishing the assignments. But thirdly, we're focusing on the mission. No matter what. These things, Paul said, they should never change. No matter what. This last line. That I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. My mission in life. God has different assignments and I'm always going to live for him. But my mission in life is to fulfill his mission no matter what. The mission or the message is a matter of life or death. This never, ever changes. Ever changes. The Great Commission is the same. We have a mission statement here at Fellowship Bible Church. We exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus who love God passionately and love others unconditionally. That is anchored in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18-20. That's not going to change. Maybe down the road, years down the road, you know, we might wordsmith it, come up with another way of saying it, turn a phrase on it, or this kind of thing. But hopefully, our mission is always going to be anchored in what God says that we're all about. This is the theme of every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ. We're driven by that mission. It's about reproduction. It's about lives being changed. And that doesn't change. That doesn't change in the history of a church. That doesn't change in the history of a person's life. That doesn't change in transition. It is always the same. And I pray to God that it will always be the same here at Fellowship Bible Church, that we are passionate about seeing that mission translated to reality. That's what we live for. Only what's done for Jesus is going to last. And Christ's likeness is the anchor of everything that we're all about. So you say, Crawford, why did you change your message? Why did you change from Daniel to talk about this? Well, because I want you to keep these things in mind as I share what's on my heart today. In 2005, Karen and I, after serving on staff with Crew, Campus Crusade for Christ, for 27 wonderful years, sensed that God was doing something in our hearts and lives. In fact, we came here in 2005, but these rumblings began to take place in 2003, 2004. I began to sense in my heart and life that that the Lord was, my assignment was up there at Crew, and that what he wanted me to do was to be a better steward of the speaking and preaching and teaching gifts that he had given to me and use them in the context of shepherding God's people. And that became just an all-consuming driver in my heart and mind. Now, what you need to know is that we did not leave Crew or Crusade. We didn't leave because we were angry. We didn't leave because we were upset about anything. We didn't leave because we were struggling with support. We had great support, great friends, all that. Didn't leave because there was a confliction in terms of job fit. Now, I was moving toward more for a pastor, but I was at a place in the movement where I was leveraging the speaking and all the communication stuff, and that was just absolutely wonderful. We left because of a clear calling from the Lord. That's why we left. We left not from something, but we left to go to something. And God called us here at Fellowship Bible Church. And so we've been here for the last 15 years, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And you say wonderful, is that just a PR way of saying, no, it's been wonderful. Has it been hard at times? Absolutely. Has it been challenging? Sure, but on your way to doing something, you become something. And when you see what God has produced, you say, well, praise God. So it's been wonderful. And it's been great. God's been at work in our hearts and lives, and he's done a rich thing in both Karen and myself. But about 3 years ago, I began praying about our future. Because once again, I sensed in my heart that God was changing the assignment. And I began to pray and think this through. And you say, it took you 3 years to come to a conclusion. Well, you know, that's because I love you guys. And that's because I didn't want to miss what the Lord was saying. And so we prayed and thought and reasoned this thing out here. And as we sought the Lord and continued to pray, this sense of a completion of my time here became even clearer. So I believe that the Lord is wrapping up our assignment here at Fellowship Bible Church. Now, what I need you to know is that I am not burnt out. I hope this goes without saying. I am not reacting to any negative issue here. I am not upset about anything here. I love our church. I love you. I love our people. I love what God is doing here. And some of you are saying, well, if that's all true, then why are you leaving? I'm leaving because I'm sensing God moving me. And that's all there is to it. There's no other narrative. That's all there is to it. That sensing that the Holy Spirit is moving us to the next place. And I also sense that the Lord wants to raise up a younger leader. Now, I'm 70. I mean, the doctors tell me I'm in pretty good shape and all that stuff, although that can change with the next doctor's visit. But I'm sensing in terms of what God has in store for our church and what the future looks like, that he wants to raise up a younger leader to help shepherd us to get to that next place. I bless the Lord for our church today and the unity and the clarity of our mission. I'm grateful to God for our elders and the unity that we have. I'm thankful for our staff and the unity that we have. I'm thankful for you and the good place that we're in right now. Thankful for your support. Thankful for your giving. Thankful for all of that. God has been at work, and we are in a good place as a church. I'm grateful to God for that. But I need you to know something. Listen to me. Every pastor is an interim pastor. Did you hear what I just said? Every pastor is an interim pastor. All of us have to do what God calls us to do. You have to do that. I have to do that. Jesus Christ has not called us to comfort or predictability. He's called us to follow him. Listen to me. There's a side of me. I could be very comfortable here at Fellowship. Y'all treat me well. I'm not unhappy. In fact, just to be crass about it, this is sort of a production platform for my broader ministry. The messages that I preach here, they go out through the Moody Network and other networks all around the world. This is a wonderful thing. So you say, well, why are you changing? Because I sense the Holy Spirit leading me and directing. He's calling us to do this at this point in history. And you need to know that this is one of the hardest decisions I've ever made in my ministry career. Because I love you so much. And I love our church. And I love what he's doing in and through our lives. And yet at the same time, I realize I've got to do what the Lord tells me to do. And I've got to follow him. And so do you. So do you. And we've got to listen to him. So more than a year ago, I began meeting with three, not only brothers, but they've become pastors to me. After it became clear, after praying this time a couple of years, by that point, I needed to sit down and get some perspective. And so began meeting fairly regularly with the chairman of our elders, Rob Consoli, and Jim Reese, former chairman of our elders, and another former chairman, Jeff Osborne. And these are some wise, godly men. And I began to share what I was thinking. Part of me wanted them to tell me that's stupid and give me some pushback and this kind of thing. But as we shared and prayed together and shared together, we began to realize that God was directing and leading in this way. But we also came up with a transition plan that we wanted to propose to the elders. And we have done that, and the elders have unanimously approved of this transition, that transition plan. Now, I'm not leaving tomorrow. In fact, my last day here will be Easter Sunday, April the 4th, 2021. You say, well, that's a pretty long runway, isn't it? Well, yeah, it is. And the reason why we didn't want to pull the trigger is that we wanted to be right here with you during this whole transition. And we wanted our body, all of us, to be a part of what's going on and seeking God together for the next leader here at Fellowship Bible Church. And my commitment to you is that we're not going to lame duck this process. I'm going to be faithfully exercising my stewardship responsibility as senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church to the last second of April the 4th. And so we're not mailing this thing in. We're not maintaining. I've charged our leadership team and our staff. We're going to put the pedal to the metal. We're going to keep pushing forward and setting the groundwork for what God wants to do next year at this church. Transitions doesn't mean that you press the pause button. We're going to continue to listen to the Lord. Well, you say, well, Crawford, what are you going to be doing after this time? What I've shared with the younger leaders is 90% of the time, you should never leave a place without knowing what you're called to next. And I say 90% of the time because there's some exceptions. And so I'm not stepping down. I'm stepping towards something. There are four things that I really believe the Lord wants us to press into this next season of our lives. One is that I want to spend more time with our grandkids. We've got 11 grandchildren, and I have traveled a great deal over these last 48 years or so. And they're getting older, and I want to spend more time pouring into them. Now, I need to tell you this. We ain't going to be spending all of our time with the grandkids, right? That doesn't end well. But we will be spending a little bit more time with them. Secondly, I'm going to continue to speak and preach at various events and conferences. And there are a lot of things that I say no to simply because not having the bandwidth with the responsibilities here. And there are things that I want to say yes to. There are events and conferences that represent a lot that's on my heart, and I want to say yes to those things. Thirdly, I'm going to be giving myself to more writing. I've got some more book projects that I really want to give some time and attention to doing that. But the fourth one really is a centerpiece. It's really what I pound the table and weep over. I want to spend the bulk of my time encouraging and pouring into the next generation of leaders. And this will give me more time to do that. This has been a very emotional week for me. I was telling somebody earlier, besides my mother and my dad passing away and my sister passing away, this has been the most emotional week I think I've had. Going back a couple of weeks, telling the elders and then telling our staff and leaders this week. And there's a little bit of dread this morning as me standing up and telling you and those who are watching. But it's right. And it's time. Now, we're not leaving fellowship. We're not leaving the church. This is our home church. This is our home church. So ride or die, you stuck with us. And I had some great advice from other pastors who have made successful transitions to a person, they said, a senior pastor that's been here for a while probably needs to get away visibly for 6 months or more. And the reason for that, whether perceived or real, is the whole shadow effect. And I get it. So we'll pull back and you won't see us for several months, but then we're going to show up and be a nuisance later on. Okay. So. Thank you. Thank you. They're getting on me. They want the service not to be too long. So I'm going to ask Rob Consoli to come up, the chairman of our elder board, and he has a few things that he wants to share in terms of this whole process.
Thank you, Crawford. Good morning. Just take a pause here, huh? It's a lot of information, perhaps a surprise for many of us. I have to say, it's been an emotional few weeks. As Crawford mentioned, 2 weeks ago, we met with the elders and shared the news. This past week, we met with the pastors and shared the news, and then we met with our beloved staff. And there were a lot of tears, but there was also a lot of joy expressed to Crawford. I know many of you probably know what a word cloud is, but it's the repetition of the kinds of words that you hear from people. And words that came forward to Crawford were words like obedience, faithfulness, discipleship, teacher of the word. a lover, an investor in the future of the church and in men, in leadership. And it was really beautiful to see the elders pray over Crawford and just affirm him. He has given so much to our church over the years. I've been a member here since 1996. I've done a lot of life here at this church, as many of you have. And God, speaking through Crawford, has left an indelible imprint on my life. I'm a better husband, father, leader because of Crawford's obedience. So would you stand again and let's just say thank you, Crawford. And thank you, Karen, because we know behind every great man is a great woman. Amen to that. Crawford, your obedience and your gift of life to this church and your faithfulness will continue to leave a legacy here. And as you know, we're not announcing a successor today. We're doing that intentionally because we're now inviting you to play your role in the selection of our next pastor. And we're going to ask you to pray with us over the next several months as we seek the Lord's direction and leader for where he's taking our church. I get emotional when I think about the fact that God has never taken his hand off of this church. He has continued to bless us time and time again, even during this COVID pandemic and situation that we've had. How our staff has been united, how our pastors have united to God's call, how our elders have been united. We're at an incredible point in really the history of the church. The level of unity that we have amongst our leadership here is second to none. And I believe it's God's perfect timing right now. He wants us to band together with each of you as he calls his next leader forward. To give you more details about that, I'd like to invite my good friend and former elder chairman, Jeff Osborne, to join us.
Good morning. You know, Crawford often says, he's said this probably 1,000 times on this platform, when he's reading from the Word of God, he'll say, "Did you hear what I just said?" Troy's laughing. He's heard that several times. When we all stood and applauded for Crawford, watching him, it's almost... it's almost like Jesus is saying, "Do you see what I've just given you? Do you see the man that I've given you as your pastor and your shepherd for 15 years? Have you seen him?" So I feel like the best way for us to honor him and to celebrate him is to be thankful to the Lord. He has given us a gift in Crawford and Karen. And for those of you who just know him from the platform, you've only seen a sliver. This man, everything he does is a picture of obedience. And even this, how he's walking out this transition, this is a model for all of us to follow. We're all in interim assignments. God is moving all of us. And so to watch him be obedient to release something that he's really gifted at, that God's given him, because he wants to be obedient, is incredible. I wasn't going to share this with you, but I want you to know, as we've been meeting, as Crawford and Rob and Jim and I have been meeting, one of the things that we asked Crawford was, "Crawford, what's most important to you in this process?" And you know what he said? It was nothing about him or Karen or his family or their future. There's three words that he wanted for you. Can we value our church, our body? Can we value them in this process and how we walk this out? Can we engage them? And can we give them clarity? That's what he wants in this whole process. It's not about him. That's what he wants. He wants it for you. He's shepherding us even through this process. So I'm going to try and get through this. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about the process. Not a lot, just a little bit. But I want you to know, even today, you can go to fellowshiproswell.org/search, and you'll see a video that Crawford and Karen have put together and other information there. But I want you to I want to share with you a little bit about the process, about a search committee that we have, a search firm that we've engaged, and then a timeline in terms of what's leading up to the elders making the decision. But before I do that, and Rob has shared this already, there's one thing I'd like to invite each of you to do, every single person that's here in the room and online. And that is, we want to invite you to do the one thing that trumps process and it trumps procedure. It's the one thing that Crawford and Karen want most. It's the one thing that Rob and the elders want most. That one thing is prayer. Can you join us in your prayer closet as families, as couples, as small groups? Can you join us and pray? And pray with thanksgiving, because God has done amazing things to this church, truly amazing things. And he will do amazing things to this church. He's telling an eternal love story. We get to play a part in that. And so if you would engage with us in prayer, that's the biggest thing we would ask for. And I don't know exactly how prayer works, but it's almost like there's a fragrance coming to heaven. And so don't feel like you don't have a part to play. You do. The Lord wants to hear what you want to say about our church and about our next senior pastor and about how to bless and honor Crawford and Karen. We do want to steward this process with excellence. And so there's a verse in the Bible, my favorite verse. It's Proverbs 21:31. And it's, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. So there's our part, and then there's God's part. And so I want to steward the process, right, of the horse getting ready for the day of battle. But we know, God already knows today who Crawford's successor is. 15 years ago, 16 years ago, God knew Crawford was coming here. He didn't know, and we didn't know. So God is in charge. He loves this church as much as we do. He loves this church more than we do. And so we want to be stewards of that process. We actually have, so the elders, from a process perspective, they own the decision-making process. So they'll make the final decision. They're going to be involved in all the final selections that we'll go through. And so they will be accountable and responsible for making the Crawford successor, making that decision. We've also formed a search committee, and we've got a slide I think we can share with you. So there's a search committee that serves, excuse me, as an extension of the elder board. There are current elders on the search committee. There are former elders like myself on the search committee. There are staff members in the search committee, and there are members of our body in the search committee. Jim Reese, kind of bottom near the left there next to Rob, is a former elder chairman, as Crawford had mentioned. He actually, God used him as the chairman of the search team that brought Karen and Crawford to our church. And so he has stepped up to say, I would love to serve. And so Jim is co-chair of the search process. So we have a process. But just like Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So we have a process, but we're truly trusting in him. And so there'll be a lot more communication coming out. I know a lot of you are in shock. I can see it on your face. But I want you to know, it's okay to feel great sadness and mourning. He's not dying, and he's going to be here. Karen and Crawford will be here with us, but it's also fine to express great joy. If you have kids or grandkids, Crawford may have seen this, or he's about to see it if he hasn't with his grandkids, but there's an animated movie called Inside Out, and it's about the different emotions we have, joy, sadness, anger, fear, etc., in us, and it's a really cute animated movie. But the point of the movie is our memories can be joyful memories, or they can be sad memories. Or different types of memories. And so the point of the movie is, when those memories combine, when you have joy and sadness together, it makes each one more special and more deep. Crawford has said many times, God will not use a man until he's greatly hurt a man. And so as you express your joy and your sadness, feel free to do that. Live in that. That's fine. We're human. God made us that way with these emotions. And I'm just so proud of Crawford and Karen. It would have been much easier for them to do this kind of in the background and to eventually have a process. Then we eventually come to you and say, this is Crawford and Karen's last Sunday. It takes a whole lot more courage to do what he's doing and to say, we want to invite the body in. Can we invite them? Can we value them? Can we engage them? Can we give them clarity so that they can join with us? It's a lot harder to do that, but that's who Crawford and Karen are. So we're excited about what's next. We don't know. There's going to be a very long process. The elders actually have signed a contract with a search firm. And so that search firm is called the Vander Blomen Group, or VSG for short. They're experts in this. But again, Proverbs 16:9, the Lord is over all of it. But they've actually done a search for over 2,000 pastors successfully. And they've even placed several senior pastors of very large churches here in our local area. So please pray for Jay Mitchell and his whole team as they lead the first part of the step of the process. But just know this is a process, and it will take some time. There will be a season. Again, April 4th is a long time from now. There'll be a season where it may not seem like there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And so if you can just continue to pray, and we will post things. So today, you'll see the video from Karen Crawford online. You'll see other things online, a letter from Crawford. That'll be the place that we'll share prayer requests. That'll be a place where we can see updates. So we just want to continue to communicate that. And you'll see a place as well for you to engage and ask questions. So if we can't have a personal conversation, we'd love to do that electronically and online. So again, that's fellowshiproswell.org/search. Okay, this has been heavy. I know it's a lot. And we love this man so much. I can feel it in the room. I can feel it even online. This church is a special church. When Courtney and I first came here, we walked in the door. We had moved to Atlanta thinking we're just going to do some church shopping immediately. It was a sense of the Holy Spirit in this place. And so that Holy Spirit is here right now. And he will shepherd all of us, all of our hearts, through this process. And so as we trust him to do that. So we're excited about what's next for Karen and Crawford in their next season. I'm personally excited that he's going to be here and she will be here and that we can't get rid of them. That's a joy and a blessing. And I'm telling you, there's so many things Crawford's gifted in doing. But if you want to watch and see how succession planning and how being obedient to the Lord and how walking an assignment out, Acts 20:24, if you want to see what that looks like, Jesus has said, have you seen what I've given you? Have you seen what I've given you? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have the worship team come back up and just celebrate God's goodness to us, God's goodness to Karen and Crawford, his goodness in our history, and his goodness in our future. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are here only because of you. Lord, you have chosen us. You have called us. Lord, you've given us the freedom to come and gather physically in a place, online, around the world. Jesus, we're so grateful to you and the story that you are telling about your eternal love story, your message of the gospel and of grace. Lord, I thank you for Crawford's words to us today. I thank you that he can even pastor us and shepherd us about our assignments as he's making this announcement today. Lord, we love your servant. And I know as much as we love him here in this building and online and around the world, there's a host of heaven. Sylvia, Crawford Sr., there's a host in heaven that is celebrating this man and this woman and who they are and how they faithfully walked out your calling to their lives. So, Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for her. We bless them. We are excited about this next season for them, and we want to cheer them on. And, God, I thank you that you've made Crawford a fan and an advocate and a cheerleader for those coming after him. There will not be anyone who's more excited about the person, Jesus, you're calling to this platform than Crawford. And so we thank you that he can be wind in his sails and that he can cheer him on. So, Father, we're excited about what you're leading us to. Lord, we feel great sadness, but we want to give that to you. Lord, would you meet us in this sadness? And would you give us incredible joy? And Lord, would you give all of us incredible joy just to know how you are leading each and every one of us in all of our interim assignments that we have? So, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that even in tough messages and tough moments, you are right here with us. Your presence comforts us and gives us peace and hope and a joy for the future. And we pray all this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.